It's May 29th, 2023. Welcome, little children, to today's study. The time, 16:59 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green here with you. Today, I'd like to begin with a song which was written by a gentleman by the name of Joseph Miro in 1946, with the lyrics written by Mack Gordon. And it was introduced, according to Wikipedia, in the 1946 musical film Three Little Girls in Blue. And Frank Sinatra recorded it in 1956. So this is Frank Sinatra singing "You Make Me Feel So Young."
And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots running across a meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, and a wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today, 'cause you make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go and play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots running across the meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today, 'cause you make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. Ooh, you make me feel so young.
Today's study is from part 2 of Wild Road. It's chapter 10, paragraph 6. Although mythology is rarely better than historians of ancient times, with their overly grandiose imaginings, unreliable claims, and often confused identifications, the learned Mr. Bryant has made a similar distinction regarding mythology to that which we ourselves wrote, that much hidden within it has been at length exposed. Quote, "Mythology runs rampant over the timeline of history," end quote. That quote was from our own article, Joseph and Own, by Rolf Ward Green, yours truly. And I just read that today and I thought, who wrote that? Because I didn't recall writing it myself when I read it today. But I believe it's possible that that was something I wrote. Mythology runs rampant over the timeline of history. I'll have to refer back to the article to see where it mentions it and whether it's quoted from something else. But so far I haven't done that. The small work that we endeavor to publish herein has little to offer compared to the work we call the book. The assistance therein derived, among much other help, is in the understanding of civilization and government of ancient times. How none existed before Nimrod, thus no such institution before this influences our modern historical interpretation of times preceding the giant hunter, who stands immortalized as Orion up in heaven. We assume thus that prior to Nimrod, the family lines determined the patriarchal heads, and they kept order. But after that came much more confusion and governing. It was the Persians who gave the name Orion to Nimrod. But the Greeks more generally, says Bryant, where the, quote, Mosaic history closes, end quote, are the people from whom, quote, all knowledge of ancient times seems now derived to us, end quote. The last great event, which is mentioned in the Mosaic account, is the dissipation of the Cuthites from Babel and their scattering throughout the rest of the world. At this period, the sacred penman closes world history. As Bryant notes afterwards, the Bible account tells us about one family in particular, their trials of faith, as merely incidentally involved other national groups. And, of course, we're reading about the family right now of Moses, but we were reading about the family of Abraham and his descendants. And, of course, Moses is one of the descendants of Abraham, so we're still reading about the family of Abraham in our study in the book of Exodus. And for today, our study of the Proverbs brings us to Proverbs 11 and 1. A cheating pair of scales is something detestable to Jehovah, but a complete stone weight, what else would we call that in modern terms? A standard weight, I suppose. A complete stone weight is a pleasure to him. A cheating pair of scales is something detestable to Jehovah, but a complete stone weight is a pleasure to him. But also, Proverbs 11 and 24, there exists the one that is scattering and yet is being increased. Also the one that is keeping back from what is right, but it results only in want. There exists the one that is scattering and yet is being increased. Also the one that is keeping back from what is right, but it results only in want. Our reading from Exodus for today. And he went on to make the altar. This is Bezalel, who was building these things. A burnt offering out of acacia wood. 5 cubits was its length, and 5 cubits its width, it being 4 square, and 3 cubits was its height. Then he made its horns upon its 4 corners. Its horns proceeded out of it. Next he overlaid it with copper. After that he made all the utensils of the altar, the cans and the shovels and the bowls, the forks and the fire holders. All its utensils he made of copper. He further made for the altar a grating, a network of copper under its rim down toward its center. Then he cast 4 rings on the 4 extremities near the grating of copper as supports for the poles. After that, he made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with copper. Then he put the poles into the rings on the sides of the altar for carrying it with them. He made it a hollow chest of planks. Then he made the basin of copper and its stand of copper by the use of the mirrors of the women servants who did organized service at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And he proceeded to make the courtyard for the side toward the Negev to the south. The hangings of the courtyard were of fine twisted linen for 100 cubits. Their 20 pillars and their 20 socket pedestals were of copper. The pegs of the pillars and their joints were of silver. Also for the north side there were 100 cubits. Their 20 pillars and their 20 socket pedestals were of copper. Copper. The south side, they were of silver. Were they not? No, they were of copper too. The pegs of the pillars and their joints were of silver. That's right. So the socket pedestals were of copper for the south side and for the north side. The pegs of the pillars and their joints were of silver. But for the west side, the hangings were for 50 cubits. Their pillars were 10, and their socket pedestals 10. The pegs of the pillars and their joints were of silver. And for the east side, toward the sun rising, there were 50 cubits. The hangings were for 15 cubits to the one wing. Their pillars were 3 and their socket pedestals 3. And for the other wing, on this as well as that side of the gate of the courtyard, the hangings were for 15 cubits. Their pillars were 3 and their socket pedestals 3. All the hangings of the courtyard round about were of fine twisted linen. And the socket pedestals for the pillars were of copper. The pegs of the pillars and their joints were of silver. And the overlaying of their tops was of silver. And there were silver joinings for all the pillars of the courtyard. And the screen of the gate of the courtyard was the work of a weaver, of blue thread and wool-dyed reddish purple and caucus scarlet material and fine twisted linen, and 20 cubits was the length. So we had a 20 cubit wide gate with wings on each side of the gate of 15 cubits each, for a total of 15 plus 15 makes 30 plus 20 makes 50 for the east side of the, is it the east? Let's go back to the, right, this is the east side where the gate was, and the west side had no gate, but it was 50 cubits wide also, or it was in length at least, we should say, 50 cubits. And the screen of the gate of the courtyard was the work of a weaver of blue thread and wool-dyed reddish purple and caucus scarlet material and fine twisted linen, and 20 cubits was the length, and the height throughout its length was 5 cubits equally with the hangings of the courtyard. And their 4 pillars and their 4 socket pedestals were of copper. Their pegs were of silver, and the overlaying of their heads and their joints were of silver. And all the tent pins for the tabernacle and for the courtyard round about were of copper. The following are the things inventoried of the tabernacle of the testimony, which was inventoried at the command of Moses as the service of the Levites under the guidance of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. And Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, did all that Jehovah had commanded Moses. And with him was Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, a craftsman and embroiderer and weaver in the blue thread, and the wool dyed reddish purple and caucus scarlet material and fine linen. All the gold that was used for the work in all the work of the holy place came to the amount of the gold of the wave offering, 29 talents and 730 shekels by the shekel of the holy place, and the silver of the ones registered of the assembly was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels by the shekel of the holy place. The half shekel for an individual was the half of a shekel by the shekel of the holy place for every man who was passing over to those who were registered from 20 years of age and upward, amounting to 603,550. And 100 talents of silver went into the casting of the socket pedestals of the holy place and the socket pedestals of the curtain. 100 socket pedestals equaled 100 talents. A talent to a socket pedestal. And out of the 1,775 shekels, he made pegs for the pillars and overlaid their tops and joined them together. And the copper of the wave offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. And with this he proceeded to make the socket pedestals of the pedestals of the entrance of the tent of meeting, and the copper altar and the copper grating that belonged to it. And all the utensils of the altar and the socket pedestals of the courtyard round about, and the socket pedestals of the gate of the courtyard, and all the tent pins of the tabernacle and all the tent pins of the courtyard round about. These last things being of copper. So now our reading from Mark chapter 2. Now Jesus, however, after some days, he again entered into Capernaum and he was reported to be at home. So let's look back at chapter 1. Where was Jesus at the end of chapter 1? He just healed a man of leprosy and everyone had heard about it. Consequently, when Jesus was reported to be at home, many gathered, so much so that there was no more room, not even about the door. And he began to speak the word to them. And men came bringing him a paralytic, carried by four. But not being able to bring him right to Jesus on account of the crowd, they removed the roof over where he was, and having dug an opening, they lowered the cot on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now there were some of the scribes there sitting and reasoning in their hearts, "Why is this man talking in this manner? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins except one, God?" But Jesus, having discerned immediately by his spirit that they were reasoning that way in themselves, said to them, "Why are you reasoning these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and pick up your cot and walk'? But in order for you men to know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins upon the earth," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your cot, and go to your home." At that he did get up and immediately picked up his cot and walked out in front of them all, so that they were all simply carried away and they glorified God, saying, "We never saw the like of it." Again he went out beside the sea and all the crowd kept coming to him and he began to teach them. But as he was passing along, he caught sight of Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Be my follower." And rising up, he followed him. Later he happened to be reclining at the table in his house, and many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them, and they began following him. But the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, began saying to his disciples, "Does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" Upon hearing this, Jesus said to them, "Those who are strong do not need a physician, but those who are ill do. I came to call not righteous people, but sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees practiced fasting, So they came and said to him, why is it the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees practice fasting, but your disciples do not practice fasting? And Jesus said to them, while the bridegroom is with them, the friends of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. Nobody sews a patch of unshrunk cloth upon an old outer garment. If he does, its full strength pulls from it, the new from the old, and the tear becomes worse. Also, nobody puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine bursts the wineskins, and the wine is lost as well as the skins. But people put new wine into new wineskins. Now it happened that he was proceeding through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples started to make their way plucking the heads of grain. So the Pharisees went saying to him, look here, why are they doing on the Sabbath what is not lawful? But he said to them, have you never once read what David did when he fell in need and got hungry, he and the men with him? How he entered into the house of God in the account about Abiathar the chief priest and ate the loaves of presentation, which it is not lawful for anybody to eat except the priests. And he gave some also to the men who were with him. So he went on to say to them, the Sabbath came into existence for the sake of man, and not man for the sake of the Sabbath. Hence the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. And that was Mark chapter 2, completed. And that's the end of our study for today, little children. But I've been very busy today. I was working outside. I did have to cut one branch of one tree. But I was mainly changing my cars over from winter to summer and vice versa, so that I have one car for each season. And this is the day I had to do it, to change them over. So it was a beautiful day for that, too. It was perfect temperature, perfect weather. For drying the tarps and things that I use to store the out of season car, and I also, what else was I going to say about that? That's why I'm very reasonably tired. I suppose you could say I'm reasonably tired from having done all the work that it takes to change over my two cars. But also, I'm excited about the fact that I got these new spring bars today. They're curved spring bars for one of my watches that it's my best watch, my dream watch, Ellie. I couldn't get the 21 millimeter wide NATO strap in between the spring bar and the watch using a regular spring bar, because the 21 millimeter NATO straps that I got were too thick. They didn't fit through the space between the spring bar and the watch. But I couldn't really find a lot of thinner NATO straps, so I ordered some of these spring bars that are curved, and the curved spring bars seem to work. So I'm going to try that. I hope they work, because if one of them breaks, hopefully the other one, or if they slip out of the holes, hopefully the other one will stay in long enough for me to get the watch into my pocket so that I don't lose the watch. But these curved spring bars, I guess they should work. There's no reason why they wouldn't work. But I'm not experienced with them, so I don't know whether they're suitable for such a watch as I am using them for such an expensive watch, that is. But at least they allow me to use my NATO strap that I purchased. I'm very thrilled about that. And Ellie is 1 second fast today. 1 second different from atomic time. And also in the right direction. Fast is better than slow. This is amazing. I've got three watches that are keeping perfect time, or within 1 second, actually. Is that true, or four? Is it three or four? Well, one of them was, anyway. Maybe Willie. It was Willie that was, and Willie's 1 second. I'm wearing Willie. Let's check that right now. 24, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 30, or 33 right now, 3 seconds fast, which is still remarkable. 24, 17, 24 hours Eastern Daylight Time, May 29th, 2023. I love you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening and watching. I hope you enjoyed it. And for me, it's Gully and Willie saying bye for now.